بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 4th of August in the year 2019 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the third night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu and after mentioning a brief with regards to his family members and also his age to now give a brief description of the blessed man himself so Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayh he described in Tabari in his tarikh 5-440 Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu was a man of average height with handsome hair and face and he had a bald spot. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu was a man of average height with handsome hair and face and he had a bald spot. In another report in Sifat al-Safwa 1-295 it mentions he had a long nose, big calves and long arms. He had the most handsome mouth of all people. His hair came below his ears and he had a striking face. It is most likely he was fair-skinned. So in this report, recorded in Sifat al-Safwa, it mentions that his nose was long, i.e. a beautifully curved nose. And he was muscular, he had big calves and long arms. And his mouth was extremely well proportioned and he was fair skinned. With regards to his hair which reached his ears, in Ahmad in his Musnad number 538, but there's a weakness in the chain for Ummu Hurab is unknown. Ummu Hurab rahmatullah alayha, she relates that Bunana had said ma khadaba Uthmanu qat, ma khadaba Uthmanu qat, Uthman radiyallahu anhu never dyed his hair. Uthman radiyallahu anhu never dyed his hair. So in this report, which is suffers from a weakness, it mentions that he never used dye on his hair. The same was also true of his worthy successor, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu, whilst the two sheikhs of this ummah would dye their hair radiyallahu anhu. So this is interesting. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he would dye his hair with henna and qatam. Umar radiallahu anhu would dye his hair with henna. According to these reports, Uthman and Ali did not dye their hair. So there's a pattern established here. Notice how they were all making things easy for the believers. Because we are told to follow the Khilaf al-Rashidi. So if a person wants to dye, he's got the example of Abu Bakr. If a person wants to use henna, he's got the example of Umar. If a person doesn't want to use dye, you've got the example of Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhuma. There is another report which mentions that somebody asked Ali radiallahu anhu, because why don't you use dye, O Amir al-Mu'mineen? Because his hair had gone completely grey and his beard was also grey. And in the report it mentions that he said it will soon be dyed. And what happened was he was struck by a khwarij and the blood poured onto his beard. So he dyed his beard with his own blood. So now the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some say he used dye, some say he didn't. But what is safer to mention is that you've got a choice. Again, the intention is to follow the examples. In another report, it mentions, in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 539, again, it has a weakness. Waqid ibn Abdullah Tamimi, he relates from another who said, I saw Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu, with his teeth covered in gold. I saw Uthman ibn Affan, radiyallahu, with his teeth covered in gold. The blessed scholars, rahimahumullah, have deduced from this and various other narrations that the use of gold for fillings in one's teeth or replacement, i.e. for those that have been broken, is lawful. Though gold per se for men is unlawful. This is important. So gold is forbidden for men. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gold in one hand and silk in the other. And he said, these are forbidden for the males of my ummah, but they are allowed for the females. Yet, gold can be placed in the mouth. So you've got a filling. So why is that interesting? Because gold doesn't rust. So obviously it's ideal to be placed in the mouth. Whatever the case, Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Uthman used gold, radiallahu. And also other reports mention Amr ibn al-As, the fox of the Arabs, he used gold in his mouth as well. So don't get confused. In the mouth is fine, but externally is forbidden for the men. In another report, in Bayhaqi, Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 96, states Sahih. Tabarani, Al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 80, states Hassan. Targhib number 1783. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 366 of the New English Translation. Abu Abdullah, who was the freed slave of Shaddad ibn Had, radiallahu anhu, he described. Darb al-Lahm, he was lean bodied. Taweed al-Lihya, he had a long beard. Hassan al-Waj, and a handsome face. So here one of his contemporaries, he mentioned three things about Sayyidina Uthman. And this is a Sahih Hadith. He was lean bodied. So he was athletic built, but he had a perfect body. He had a long beard, Taweed al-Lihya. And this is again the howler. You get people with beards. I don't know if they can even call them beards. And they go, this is beard, Shariat beard. Whose sunnah are you following? Astaghfirullah. So Sayyidina Uthman, it says clearly he had a long beard, radiallahu. And he had a handsome face, Hassan al-Wajh. In another report, in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 537, it's da'if due to Abdul Miqdam in his chain. Abdul Miqdam relates from Hassan ibn Abul Hassan, rahmatullah alayh. I came to Uthman and I looked at him, radiallahu. He was a handsome man with marks of smallpox on his face, and his arms were covered with light hair. He was a handsome man with marks of smallpox on his face, and his arms were covered with light hair. So he had the marks of an outbreak of smallpox. Other Sahaba also had this. The gallant sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu, also had marks of smallpox on his blessed face, which also accentuated his handsome ruggedness. So Uthman also had that. He had smallpox marks on his blessed face. But this increased his beauty. In another report it mentions, in Tabarani, Al-Haytami in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 80, he comments upon the chain of narrators. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 366 of the New English Translation. Musa ibn Talha, rahmatullah alayhi, he described Sayyidina Uthman. He was one of the most handsome men. He, I, Sayyidina Uthman, radiallahu anhu, was one of the most handsome men. This is important. He wasn't the most handsome. He was one of the most handsome, meaning amongst the Quraysh, he had outstanding beauty. Allah blessed him with great beauty. But in another report, in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 522, it's Hassan. Musa, rahmatullah alayha, she said, Kana Uthmanu min ajmalin nas. Uthman radiallahu anhu was the most handsome of the people. Uthman radiallahu anhu was the most handsome of people. So now there's a contradiction. One report says he was one of the most handsome. Another says he was the most handsome. So a simple reconciliation could be is that those who were equal or better than him in looks, they passed away. So Musa was talking about another time that now he became the most handsome of the people. And in Ibn Asakir, Abdul Rahman ibn Hazm al-Muzani, he went as far as to say, rahmatullah alayh, I have never seen a man or woman with a more handsome face than his. Subhanallah. I have never seen a man or woman with a more handsome face than his. So these are all reports. So now let's put a summary so you get an idea. Try to get an image of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu. The following is a brief physical description of this most noble man. Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu was of average height. So, like you say, around 6 foot, slightly less. He was fair skinned. His entire frame was of an athletic build, wide shoulders, small waist. He had an immensely beautiful countenance, which was further accentuated with marks of smallpox. He had long hair and he had a small bald spot. His nose was long. His mouth was perfectly proportioned, which was further beautified by the gold which was placed within it. His beard was long, and apparently he never used dye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be well pleased with him and forgive us all for his honorable sake. Ameen. So what you learn is, he was blessed with extreme beauty. So outwardly, he looked like a perfect man. Outwardly. It's as if Allah ta'ala had prepared him for a role to play. But because of his character, you would not have that image. Because we're going to describe his character soon. He was very soft, he was very shy. And normally people of that nature, they're usually small in frame. Uthman wasn't. He was an athletic build, he was muscular. So this is the contrast. He was outwardly extremely handsome, built like an athlete. And yeah, inwardly, he was very soft. So after mentioning a brief physical description, let's now talk about his character before Islam. Subhanallah, just as this most venerable man, radiyallahu, was blessed with incredible outer beauty, he was also, more importantly, pure from within. So outward beauty is not that important. Why? Because you're given that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't work on it. You can't say, right, I'm going to do this and that to get myself handsome. You're stuck with what Allah has given you. You can't do plastic surgery. It's haram. Right? But your character is more important. Why? Because you can work on that. But he was beautiful from the outside. But more importantly, he was very, very pure from within. How do we know? In Tabarani, Al-Isaba, volume 2, page 253. Abu Na'im al-Hilya, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 4, page 75 of the New English Translation. Abdullah ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhu, he said, there are three men from the Quraysh who are the most handsome, have the best character, and have the strongest sense of haya, modesty. They are Abu Bakr, Uthman, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Radiyallahu ta'ala. So look how interesting. Abdullah ibn Umar said, these three men, they were the greatest in these three areas. Of course, he's talking after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the greatest beauty. They had the greatest character. And they had too much haya, too much sharam, you call it sharam, modesty, shame. Abu Bakr, the greatest of the companions. Who was next? Uthman, the third greatest companion. And who's next? Abu Ubaidah. So look how interesting. Three of the elite 10 promised paradise. They were the most handsome, they had the best character, and they had the strongest sense of haya. Note that these were all promised paradise within their very lifetimes. This is before Islam. Don't get the impression that this is afterwards. They were like this before revelation had descended. Similarly, Uthman himself had once said to everybody, in Nasa'i Tirmidhi ibn Majah Mishkat, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never committed fornication nor killed any person unlawfully, either in the days of Jahiliyyah or in Islam. Subhanallah. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have never committed fornication nor killed any person unlawfully, either in the days of Jahiliyyah or in Islam. So what's he clearly pointing out? He's saying, even in Jahiliyyah, I didn't commit zina. Because I looked in disgust at this. And of course, in Islam, nor have I killed anybody. So he's highlighting that Allah has blessed him. May Allah the Almighty further elevate the status of this most noble man For he made it easy for us to know him when he further said in Abu Na'im al-Hilya 1.60 with a Sahih Jannah transmission, I have no interest in songs. I have never committed any immoral deed. My right hand has never touched my private part since I swore allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I did not drink alcohol during the Jahiliyyah or in Islam. Indeed, I did not commit fornication during the Jahiliyyah or in Islam. Now, if you take the name away from this hadith, you're thinking, is this the Prophet talking? What did he say, radiyallahu? Because I have no interest in songs. This whole culture is obsessed with it. Music and padpusi, as you call it, right? All over the place. The devil's zikr. Right? You go in the car, you got the music on, you go outside, music on, you're watching TV, music's on. Music, shaitan zikr everywhere. Uthman goes, doesn't interest me. What a waste of time. That's in Jahiliyyah. Second thing he said, I have never committed any immoral deed. That's a prophetic statement he's making. Does that mean he? But there you go. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, some of my companions are knocking on the door of prophethood. If anybody could earn nubuwwat, it's my companions. Because I've never committed an immoral deed. Thirdly, ever since I give bayah to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I've never touched my private part with my right hand. How difficult is that? For example, you go for a call of nature. You've got to use both hands. One, you know, just to take away one hand. Now, he only did that out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because how can I touch my private part with the hand that's touched the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I've never taken khamr, intoxicants, even in Jahiliyyah. People argue about this in Islam. Brother, it's halal, brother. It's halal. Well, I don't know about that, brother, but even in Jahiliyyah, Uthman didn't go near it. Radiyallahu. And fifthly, no fornication in Jahiliyyah or Islam. Now think about this. Was he boasting? He's talking about himself. But I'll mention why he's saying this. This is a context. The Sahaba never talked about their virtues. But there was a reason he was saying this, but it's not relevant now. Thus, it would be fair to say that this most majestic man, radiyallahu, was living a saintly life even before the proclamation of our beloved messenger of the glorious truth. So think about that. Islam came, did he change? Usually a person, you know, he becomes Muslim and changes start taking place. He starts taking things out of his life which are haram. What did Uthman change? Never committed any immoral deed. So when you become Muslim, it was like, well, I just took the shahada, nothing really has changed. Thus, he was amongst those beautiful souls about whom Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger had said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam, as long as they have understanding. Subhanallah. The best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam, as long as they have understanding. This is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih al-Jami, number 3267. So this is an honor for Sayyidina Uthman. The Prophet praised those people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of you in the Jahiliyyah, Uthman was unblemished, are the best of you in Islam with one condition. You acquire understanding. Did he acquire understanding? So the Prophet was basically saying, he's amongst the best, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu. Indeed, amongst the evidence which point to the people's love for Sayyidina Uthman, due to the combination of all the aforementioned qualities, is the report which states that at the time an Arab woman would sing to her child a song which speaks of the people's love and respect for him. So this was their lullaby. The Quraysh, the Arabs would sing this to their children to put them to sleep. This is in Mawsu'at Al-Tariqh Al-Islami 1.618. By the most merciful, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, I love you as much as the Quraysh loves Uthman. Subhanallah. By the most merciful, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, I love you, I owe my child, as much as the Quraysh loves Uthman. That became a lullaby. So most of the Arabs, they knew the Quraysh were the Sayyid tribe. They were the dominant tribe. But which one of them had a very special place in their hearts? Uthman. And how do we know that they had a great love and affection for him? Because they would sing to their newborns and their children. Because by Allah the Almighty, I love you as much as the Quraysh loves Uthman. So how did they acquire that? Why were they singing that? Because of Uthman's greatness, radiyallahu anhu. This also proves how well known he was amongst the Arabs at the time, and how much his name and fame had spread throughout the blessed Arabian Peninsula. Subhanallah. Think about that. He was a famous man. Now what's strange about that? Was he after fame? You know, people say, oh, I need to get famous. Do you? MashaAllah, right? I need to get, you know, a platform and this, that. He didn't want that. He was furthest from it. But Allah Ta'ala made him famous. So imagine you'd be walking around in those blessed days in the Arabian Peninsula and you're hearing Uthman's name being sung to children. Why? Because of how great and noble he was, how dear he was to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what I mentioned today was basically, I've given a very brief description, physical description now, of the exalted Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he was a perfect man outwardly, that's the best way to describe it. But more importantly, inwardly, he was also a perfect man. And even in the Jahiliyyah, he was of a saintly status, which the Arabs then clearly showed in their lullabies to their children. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله